There comes an age in a man's life when he needs to begin to think more about the end of the world. And that age is 40. I woke up on my 40th birthday in the little hilltop town of Orvieto. It was a gift to be there. And this little town is usually bustling with all sorts of people during much of the year. But because this was in the middle of winter, it was very quiet. And myself and my good buddy, Father Matt, we spent the morning in the beautiful Duomo, the cathedral that's there. We celebrated Mass in the chapel with the Eucharistic miracle from which the Feast of Corpus Christi came. And on the other side is a little chapel called the Signorelli Chapel, which is covered with frescoes from floor to ceiling. It's the chapel that Michelangelo went to and where he found his inspiration for the Sistine Chapel. And this Signorelli Chapel, which is usually, again, filled with people, was completely empty. And so after Matt got bored, I was able to spend most of a whole hour in this chapel. When you walk into it, and on the wall to the left is the scene of the great tribulation in the second coming of Jesus with the great tribulations that precede it. And so you see all sorts of chaos and confusion. There's an image of the Antichrist that's there with this figure who looks like Jesus, with this man behind him with his hand through his sleeve whispering in his ear. And there's confusion and chaos all over the earth. And if you turn around to the entrance in which you came, it's the scenes from the end of the world in which the sun is darkened again and the fire is falling from the skies. And on the other wall are the scenes of the resurrection of the dead. On the one side, those who are being raised into glory, into eternal life, being drawn up, the great saints who have clung on to Christ and won in the victory of his. And then next to that, it's the scenes from the damned who are being risen into eternal torment and punishment. And so it's this scene in this chapel of the apocalypse. And it reveals that which remains hidden to us throughout much of our lives. The word apocalypse itself just simply means revelation. It's the pulling back of the curtain, a piercing of the veil, that we go through our life and there's a veil that covers the spiritual world which is all around us. We live in our world in which we see and can sense things in this visible world of ours. But there's a world that we're immersed in and that surrounds us at all times, and it's the spiritual realities. And behind that veil and in the midst of it, there's a great battle that's going on continually. This spiritual world is one that we cannot see it, but we can experience the effects of it at all times. And the great battle, the immortal battle that's being waged at all times as well, is the battle for our souls. And in this chapel is a pulling back of the curtain of being able to see this image of the final battle, the final apocalypse at the end of the world. Today is unofficially known as Apocalypse Sunday. Jesus lived for how many years on this earth? 33, right? How many weeks are there in ordinary time? There's 33 weeks of ordinary time. Today is the 33rd Sunday in ordinary time. Next week is the culmination of the liturgical year in celebrating the feast of Christ the King. This feast, this day, though, of Apocalypse Sunday, is the day in which it's the choosing of Christ and his victory, or the choosing in the rebellion of the evil one. Jesus has already come. There was the first coming of Jesus Christ. And it was in the fullness of time, we hear, that Jesus came. And he revealed himself. He revealed God to us. In the Gospel of Mark, there's three different key moments of the revelation, the pulling back of the veil of who this man Jesus is. His baptism, the Holy Spirit comes down. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The second, the transfiguration. The same revelation and a peek into the glory and the divinity of Jesus. And the third revelation is Jesus upon the cross. Truly, this is the Son of Man. His glory is fully revealed, and it was upon the cross that the veil between the invisible and the visible in that moment was torn. And the victory over death and sin was won in that moment upon the cross. This was the beginning. It was the beginning of the end times. And the culmination of the end times comes in the end of the world, in the final days, because the victory has been won. He's defeated evil. He's defeated death. The time in which we live now, the end times in which we live now, is the time of choosing. It's the time that we have to choose. Will we share in the victory that Jesus has? Will we choose him and to follow him and to die with him? Or will we choose rebellion? Will we choose Jesus Christ as the king of every aspect of our lives? Or will we choose to make something else that which we worship, whether ourselves or anything else? Now is the time of choosing that we are given before the end comes, and it's coming very soon, meaning next week. But it's this time, and to recognize we live in this world in which there's the veil between the spiritual and the material. There's a veil between time and eternity. But that veil was torn in the crucifixion, and it's being pierced continually in your life. That from the cross flows all of the sacraments. When Jesus' side was pierced, and from his heart, from the heart of God, blood and water flowed out. That's the source of all the sacraments. The sacraments are those things which pierce the visible, physical world that we have in the invisible, spiritual world of graces of God that are there. And so we share in this even now. And from the very first sacrament that you receive in baptism, there's a little girl who's going to be baptized after Mass this morning. When she is baptized, she's completely transformed and she becomes a daughter, an adopted daughter of God the Father. And in baptism, everyone, and this is why it's so important and so important to baptize young, there's a spiritual protection that is given to one who is baptized. You are spiritually protected from the forces that would love to entrap, control, and destroy your soul and your whole life. There's spiritual protection that's given. But we must still, throughout our life, even with that protection, choose God. And do you recognize, even though there's a veil, do you recognize the ways in which God draws you to him through visible and invisible ways? Because the evil one also uses this interplay between the visible and the invisible, the hidden and the revealed, to draw us to him as well. Do you recognize the ways in which God does that in your life? Art, taking things in with our vision, Sacred art is meant to draw us to God, to reveal something of His beauty to us. Sacred music. When you hear sacred music, when you enter into it, does that draw your heart closer to God? It's all these things that are meant to reveal something deeper to us, the spiritual world. And of course, the evil one uses art and visual things and even music and other stuff to draw him into his realm as well. But God is continually at work using these things. But sacred art and sacred music, all of that is meant to lead to one thing, which is the worship of God. The worship of Him. The way in which the church is set up, this whole part of the church, the nave, is meant to represent time. You come into this church and you come in again and again and you continually come in. And you carry all the things with you in the midst of time. All the weights, all the suffering, all the joys. You come in the midst of time and you bring these to God. Everything in the sanctuary from here on back is meant to represent eternity. It's meant to represent eternity that we see this all in one glance. Beautifully in this church, you see the Alpha on the one side, the Omega on the other, and all of time culminates in the cross, in the crucifixion and in the cross in our own lives. But it's in the worship of God that everything is meant to lead to, where we're not just drawn to God, but it's in the worship of God that we're united with Him even in time as well. And there's something in the worship of God in which there's this dynamic of the hidden and the revealed, of the visible and the invisible. The Eucharist, when it's celebrating, there's elements of it that are meant to be hidden, and then they're revealed to us. And so for much of the history of the church, Mass was celebrated and we're facing Jesus, and so much of it was hidden. But there are the moments in which the priest turned and revealed to us, "Behold the Lamb of God." It's different now, but even now, upon the altar, you have the wall, the candles, and the cross. "Father, why is all that stuff on the altar? We can't even see you." That's kind of the point. It's not about seeing Father, but rather there's something hidden that's happening. But it's hidden, and that hidden aspect of it is meant to create a longing within our souls, a longing for God, a longing to see that which is invisible to our eyes. And then there are the moments in which the Eucharist is held up, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God," in which it's revealed to us this longing that builds up in our vision. Our vision, which is beyond the physical vision, but our spiritual vision, is meant to be trained in this as well. To see God and to see Him in your life. The apocalypse is one in which it is begun. We are in the end times. And it will culminate in the second coming of Jesus Christ with all the tribulations and everything involved in that. But the time of choosing, the time of choosing in our lives is now. There's a war that happens for our souls. And God calls us to Him, to worship Him, and to be united to Him. That for all of eternity, we might experience this. The one last thing in this chapel, the Signorelli Chapel, I've told you about the two walls and the back. In the front, right up on top, the whole ceiling is covered with all the saints in glory. And there's an image painted, a fresco, of Jesus in all His glory upon His throne. Jesus Christ the King, above the altar. And all are bowed down in worship to Him.